Have you ever heard of implicit association tests? I didn't think so, so don't feel bad. Well, these are tests that have been used for psychological research purposes on people's implicit assumptions about other human beings in terms of a variety of categories, such as age, race, sexual orientation, skin tone, religion, and others. And there's evidence that these tests can be very effective in testing what attitudes and prejudices people hold consciously. But what's more important even than that is that they're very effective in testing our unconscious attitudes and prejudices. Well, I took two of these tests on Friday. And the first test had to do with tax relief versus social programs. And on that one, I had a slightly higher preference for tax relief over social programs. The second one was on racial preferences. And according to the score, I had no preference in terms of race, which is due in large measure, if that is accurate, which I think it's fairly accurate, because of the people who have come into my life over my lifetime and been in my life and influenced me, especially the people of this congregation. That's not to say that I don't have prejudices, because like Nathaniel, I have asked the same question: can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Hackensack? Can anything good come out of Flemington? Can anything good come out of St. Louis or Jacksonville or Galesburg or Ottawa or any of the other places that I've lived in my life? And you can fill in the blank here of whatever questions you've asked because of hidden prejudices or assumptions. Can anything good come from here? I believe that the only way that racism and prejudice can be minimized is by living within a multicultural and multicolored environment. And that's why congregations like this one are so special, but are also very rare, unfortunately. As Dr. Martin Luther King actually was fond of saying, the most segregated hour of the week was Sunday mornings. Well, an implicit association test will take you about 10 minutes or less to complete. You can Google it. Just implicit association tests. It'll come up. You can take the test. It takes about 10 minutes to complete, and the results are often surprising, so I would encourage you to do it. In the circles in which I travel, open-mindedness is considered a compliment, and prejudice is considered to be an insult. On the whole, I think this is as it should be. There are some things, though, about how our minds work and categorize that make being completely open-minded impossible and not even entirely desirable, for that matter. If you were to place a wax bowl in a microwave and zap it for a while, it'll come so open that it won't be able to hold anything. It'll disintegrate. And our minds work in part by organizing information into these kinds of categories, by keeping things distinct in ways that are artificial, but are surprisingly at least helpful to us as human beings. People in Jesus' culture weren't so embarrassed about some of the things we would consider to be prejudicial. And this week's gospel story is an excellent case in point. Nathanael is convinced that if he knows which village Jesus comes from, he'll know as much about Jesus as he needs to know. He'll be able to categorize him and place him, much as if he was to know who Jesus' father was, if that would be everything that he needed to know. Furthermore, Nathan is fine with prejudging going both ways. He asks Jesus literally, "From where do you come that you know me to be? What do you believe to be my hometown?" Jesus says, "Well, I saw you under the fig tree." Or it'd be like us saying, "I saw you sitting on your front porch in Hackensack." It's an image out of the Old Testament that is one stands for one's home, one's place. In other words, Jesus saw Nathanael at home and therefore knows everything he needs to know about him, or so he thinks. His culture wasn't individualistic like ours or introspective like ours. So people would have perceived this manner of thinking about who's trustworthy as being perfectly reasonable. Which tribe do you come from? Do you come from the tribe of Judah? Do you come from the tribe of Benjamin? Which tribe do you come from tells me everything I need to know about you. The entire Gospel of John assesses people in this manner. In fact, the first thing we know about Philip is that he's from Bethsaida. the city of Andrew and Peter, it says in the text. And John seems to think this will tell his readers everything that they need to know about Philip. He assumes it will, in fact. That's why he doesn't go into any great detail about Bethsaida. And this is a reasonable assumption to make, since Philip behaves as Andrew and Peter do. They behave similarly. They come from a similar culture, a similar background, similar belief system, and so forth. But what makes this passage so amazing is that the people in our story did not stick with what was reasonable or expected. Nathanael notices that Jesus comes from Nazareth, which indicates that he's got no messianic credentials to speak of. There's no mention of Nazareth by the prophets. There's no mention of Nazareth by Moses. There's nothing in the Bible, their Bible, that would have indicated that the Messiah would come out of this backward town, which indicates that he's got nowhere and he's from Nowheresville. But when Nathanael's invited to come and see for himself, Nathanael goes anyway, which is really an amazing thing, and sees what Jesus is. He sees that he's a teacher. He also sees that he's the Son of God and the King of Israel. And this tells me that the crucial question isn't whether we should or shouldn't have prejudices, because we all do. Every human being has them. We can't help it. But the real question is, what do we do when we're confronted with something or by someone who doesn't fit into our prior experiences or expectations? Are we willing to allow a new experience to come into our lives to transform us and change us from what we previously thought? When Nathanael is confronted with the fact that Philip believes that this man from Nazareth is in fact the one whom Moses and the prophets spoke about, even though their scriptures would not have said so, he's willing to come and see with his own eyes, experience with your own experience, judge with your own judgment, in essence. His trust in Philip overcomes his prejudice at least enough for him to go to Jesus to investigate, to question him, and to listen to the answers, and then make the judgment himself. That's what's important about this story. And then when Nathanael hears and sees what he hears and sees doesn't fit with his prior prejudices, that nothing good can come out of Nazareth, Nathanael makes another very important decision that should inform us today. He revises his assumption. He changes his working hypothesis. He's willing to discard his prejudgments to accommodate new information, a truth that doesn't fit into his old assumptions and prejudices, and this leads to his recognition and confession that Jesus is the Son of God. He's just saying, experience with your own eyes and your own ears the reality that stands before you, and then you decide. He's not saying believe because Philip told you to believe. He's not saying believe because I tell you to believe. He's saying check it out for yourselves. That Nathanael had prejudices is not the issue. We all do. What is the issue is the ability to revise our own thoughts and our own assumptions based on new information and new experiences that come our way. And as crucial as this particular turning point is from and for Nathanael, he's going to be asked to do even more radical revisions with his thinking and his experiences in terms of who this Messiah is that he's now willing to follow. He's confessed that Jesus is a blessed teacher, a rabbi. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. He's made all of these nice pronouncements, but Jesus is not going to behave as those categories would have suggested in its day and age. Jesus associates with those that the authorities deem to be outsiders. All of his religious colleagues, the Pharisees, are in agreement. The Amma Eretz, the people of the land, the dirty shepherds, the prostitutes, all the people that Jesus likes to hang out with are not the chosen people. They have been rejected by God, by right-thinking Israelites. They've been told this for thousands of years. He's going to confront the power of Rome with its military might, but not to seek his own crown of glory. He will die the death instead of a slave, rather than take his place at the head of an armed force. If Nathanael is going to continue to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, eventually that's going to mean more than revising his expectations about Jesus. It will mean revising his whole way of life. It will cause him to have to let go of the idea For example, that God's blessing of Israel depends on Israel remaining distinct from all the other nations. It's not that Israel is different from all the other nations. It's that Israel is to reveal who God's glory is through how they behave. He's going to have to see that Jesus is going to act the way a Messiah acts by his own understanding, not by what's expected from scriptures. He will have to follow a mission that invites all the nations to come and join Israel in God's kingdom. He will have to let go of the idea that God's justice is about punishing those that are unrighteous and deemed unclean, to follow the Son of God who blesses and forgives even his persecutors. And he'll have to let go of more than his ideas. He's going to be leaving behind his village. He's going to be leaving behind his tribe, his family, upon everything which has formerly given him his sense of honor, place, and dignity in the society in which he lives. And he's going to have to do this even though the world is going to say that this guy should be ashamed of, you should be ashamed of him. He died on a cross. But instead, God has exalted him. He'll lose his life as he knew it to be, but he'll find more of life than he ever expected in his wildest imaginings. And this is what God continues to do today. God is in the business of breaking down our expectations. God is in the business of breaking down the barriers that we erect between one another. God is breaking down the barriers between men and women, between black and white, between Gentile and Jew, slave and free. God is breaking down all of these barriers that we would erect because that's what God does. And so if we are to follow where the Messiah, where God goes, then we have to revise our assumptions about how life is to be lived. You see, God is in the business of tearing down prejudices and barriers. Not because we're so bad, but because God knows we can be so much more. Not because God wants to punish us, but because God wants us to have an abundance of life. So if you find that your worldview, your view of others who are different from you, is troubling to you, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you should come and see what God wants you to see. Maybe you should be challenged yourselves to find out what God wants you to do that's different than what you've been currently doing. You just might find that a new world awaits you out there. One that's brighter, more full, bigger, because it includes more people in it, more beautiful and hope-filled than the one that you assumed it to be. Come and see what is coming out of Nazareth. Come and see what is coming out of Hackensack. Come and see what is coming out of your own homes. Amen.
Precious.